Part 24, Chapter 2. Brown Limper Staffer had seethed when Turl discovered the submachine gun. But the sight of the barrel being bent almost double had caused him to hold his peace. This huge monster was strong. So he stood there and accepted the gift. Actually, it must be gold. It was so heavy. He had no qualms about accepting gold, even if it looked like a bribe. He had earned it. But his mind was only slightly on all that. He was still looking avidly for Tyler. But he decided he would wait until Turl was safely at that console. He saw Captain Arf Moifi salute, saw the Brigantes draw up and begin to take poisoned arrows from the crossbelts, saw the performance on the platform. Turl had somebody else there in the bundle. Tyler? No, it couldn't be Tyler, or Turl would have called out. Maybe it was Tyler. Maybe Turl was double-crossing him. No, it couldn't be Tyler. Who was it? But yes, it might be Tyler. They put an air mask on whoever it was. They meant to take somebody to Cyclo. No, it couldn't be Tyler. But maybe it was. When the snow had jumped up from the ground, Brown Limper had been slightly startled. But nothing had happened except that Turl went over to that bundle. Ah, finally Turl was going back to the console. Brown Limper had been told the wires would begin to hum. He would wait for that. It was hard to see in this snow. The white glare of it and the swirls in the wind gusts kept blanking out things. But he could listen. He thought he heard the hum start. He couldn't be sure. The wind was making sounds, and that Brigante mob was yelling goodbyes to General Smith. Brown Limper thought he had better wait until Turl walked back to the platform center before he moved. In the back of the car was another submachine gun. Brown Limper had thought of everything. The moment Turl reached the middle of the platform, Brown Limper would dive into the back of the car, get the Thompson submachine gun, load it, and race to that platform edge and spray the whole place. It must be Tyler in that bundle. Brown Limper stood there, holding the gift, waiting for Turl to walk away from the console. The yells of the Brigante tribe and the whir of the wind made it impossible to tell whether the hum had started. He would have to be sure. He had better wait for the last moment. Then Turl couldn't rush off the platform to stop him. He didn't hear the thud of running feet behind him. Suddenly, two hands reached out and grabbed at the gift. A radiation-masked face and an air mask under the radiation mask. Then he saw the blonde beard through all that leaded glass. Tyler was right on top of him.
Run!
Yelled the face. The hands whipped the gift away from Brown Limper.
Run for your life!
Came from the half-hidden face. Then the man turned and, carrying the package, sprinted toward the hangar side of the compound. The figure was growing thinner in the snow, hard to see.
Shoot him!
Screamed Brown Limper to Lars. He whirled. Lars was running away. He was already 100 feet away and half hidden in snow flurries. He was running as hard as he could toward Denver. But then something registered with Brown Limper. That voice. He knew Tyler's voice. Even through masks and shields, he did not think it was Tyler's voice. It had sounded Swedish. But Tyler must be around. Around someplace. Brown Limper tore his way to the door of the car to get the other gun. The door on that side was locked. With the whimper of despair, Brown Limper raced around the car. He had to get to that other gun. And even as he went, above the snow, above the yells, he heard Tyler's voice from the platform. Unmistakable. He must hurry.